See them as the expression of our love, that we trust you fully. You do your thing, Father, and allow us to be obedient to do our part. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, and now you can welcome Brother Walt.
Getting excited for battle already. Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome, everybody. It's always such a privilege to have the opportunity to deliver the message. And I'm just so glad that I have a platform and the leadership here entrusts me and the Holy Spirit that is speaking to me to bring the message. So I don't know if you've seen the topic for today is battlefield. And when you hear that word, battlefield, you immediately think about some kind of war going on. There's adversaries. There's a conflict of ideas. Well, I'm not talking about the outward spiritual battle we face against, you know, Satan and his cronies and taking dominions over the principalities of powers and heavenly realms outside. I'm going to be talking today about a battlefield a bit more closer to home. It's the one we wake up and face every day, the believer's personal battlefield. We'll be looking at the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15. In this, we see how, you know, any one of us can become, you know, at some point in time, maybe even for a short period, become a prodigal. And, you know, how do we handle that? What do we do about that? Here in Luke 15, we read, this is the parable that Jesus says. And he said, this is Jesus speaking, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So the father divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country and there squandered his estate with loose living. In a New King James version, it says, with prodigal living. Now, I know that word prodigal is not a word we commonly use in our vocabulary every day, probably apart from referring to this particular verse of scripture. But prodigal in the Greek mean in the Strong's Concordance, is a one-word definition for the word prodigal. And when you hear it, you're going to be like, okay, yeah, that's it. The word is dissolutely. That clear it up for you? Dissolutely. Yeah, that's clear. That's clear as mud to me. Well, I went to look up in the what does Webster have to say of that? Well, they don't have the word dissolutely, but in Webster they had the word dissolute, and it is a person lacking restraint, one indulging in acts of immorality. So now, if we're honest, you know, there are probably one or two or a few places in our life where each of us may be lacking restraint. Can we agree on that? Oh, okay, good. I was going to say, my vow's going to be the only one. You know, you're like, oh, you guys looking at me kind of self-righteous. Whoa, stop it. The reason as believers we have a battle or that battlefield that we find ourselves standing on is because, in point number one, we are made up of three parts. We're made up of three parts. Our body, spirit, and our soul. Let me show you a verse which has all three parts in it. Genesis 2:17. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. That's his body. He created the body from the dust of the ground. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That word breath can also be defined in the Bible as spirit. The spirit of God. The spirit of life. And man became a living soul. There you have it right there. Body, spirit, and soul. Why am I saying this? Well, it's important to understand that God created our spirit to connect and relate to him. That's what our spirit is for. He created our body to interact and experience his creation, to be able to live here upon the earth, to breathe air, to be able to drink water, to be able to handle gravity, specifically here, our physical body, to be here in this plane of existence. And our soul was created to relate and enjoy both his creation and God himself. For us, with our mind, will, and our emotions to enjoy what he made for us, our creation, and the relationship we have with him in spirit. But here's the problem. When Adam and Eve sinned, their spirit died in the garden. When they sinned, their spirit died. Because when God said, if you eat of this fruit, you'll surely die. Did they drop over dead? No, their bodies didn't die. Did they still have their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions? Their soul didn't die. What died was their spirit, their connection to God. That's what was severed, the spirit. And sin, because of sin, all of us are born with a dead spirit. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And who is that? Our enemy, the adversary, the devil. Of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. By nature, our spirits were dead. See, your spirit does not come alive until you accept Christ as your Savior. For years, we learned to relate to God only through our soul. Before coming to Jesus, you related to God through what we could understand, our mind, how we've learned to live life and make all our decisions based on our feelings and our emotions and what we desire to do. We've learned to live a life and make all our decisions based on our thoughts about whatever it is, our feelings about it, and our desires. God never intended for us to live that way. God intended us to live where our spirit is in charge. But we lived for years with our soul in charge, and this is the believer's battlefield. This is the believer's battlefield. Number two, the battleground is with the soul. Our battleground is with the soul. This is the believer's battle between the soul and the spirit. The spirit says, love your neighbor, turn the other cheek, lay down your life. The soul says, protect number one. Do what you desire. Do what feels good. Hebrews 10:39. But we, as believers, are not those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith or believe to the preserving of the soul. As born-again believers in Jesus, our spirit is saved. It is not by works. If you accept Christ as Savior, your spirit has come alive. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his grace, his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. See, the finished work of grace has saved our spirit, and the progressive work of grace and mercy is saving our soul. Justification. That's the saving by grace. When you first believe, you've been justified just as if you had never sinned. Then it's the sanctification process through grace of the saving of our soul. We need to understand the battlefield is in the soul. And in the words of that elite fighting force, knowing is half the battle. Yo, Joe. G.I. Joe, right? Yeah. Elite fighting force. The biggest reason we struggle with the battle is point number three. The soul is selfish. It is selfish. The soul motto is protect number one. Live for number one. Look out for number one. It is made up of our will, our mind, and our emotions. What we think, what we can reason, what we feel is right, and what we desire. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but in the end is the way of death. But its end is the way of death. The only reason we lose the battle in our soul is because the soul is selfish, is born selfish, and needs to be converted, renewed, and transformed. In order for that to happen, we must look at number four. The soul must submit to the spirit. The soul must submit to the spirit. Like with Jacob and Esau, when Isaac pronounced a blessing over Jacob, Romans 9:12, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger. The older will serve the younger. God uses this as a principle in Scripture. It's not firstborn, secondborn. See, let's say you're born into this world, and at the age of 20, you become a believer and follower of Christ. Your spirit becomes alive. You are born again. You are born of the Spirit. In John 3:6, that which is born of the Spirit, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Who was in charge for all those years, for those first 20 years? Our soul. Who's the older? The soul. Who's the younger? The spirit. What does the Bible say? The older will serve the younger. The soul needs to submit to the spirit. When you get saved and your spirit comes alive, it says to your soul, hey, I'm in charge now. We're going to do things God's way. And the soul, you know, being the sweet, kind, compassionate, humble fellow that he is, says, okay. No. Your soul says, not without a fight, pal. Not without a fight. And that's where the fight is. Are we going to respond the way our mind and our emotions tell us? Or are we going to respond like Jesus in that situation? So we need to feed the spirit. See, what we got to do is feed our spirit. The story I like to tell is about the two wolves that are fighting each other. The black wolf and the white wolf. You know, which one of them, as they struggle and fight each other, which one's going to win? Everybody think, oh, yeah, the white wolf, because it's good. No, it's the one you feed. The one you feed. That's the one that's going to win. The one you feed. See, our spirit has grown up. Our spirit has to grow up. Our souls have been getting a steady diet of the world, and we need to counter that. Now, King David gives us a clue and some insight about this battle. In Psalms 131:2, King David clues us in by saying, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Number five, what do we got to do with our soul? The soul must be weaned. The soul must be weaned. We not only need to feed our spirit, but we need to wean our soul. So how do we wean a child? How do we wean a child? We take it off of milk and give it solid food. 1 Corinthians 3:1-2. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Hebrews 5:12-13. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the orders of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. For he is an infant, or he's a baby. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice, not only hearing the word, but putting the word into practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Have our spirits grow up. So what happens when you try to wean a baby? They throw a fit. They throw a fit. Same's going to happen when you try to wean your soul. It's going to throw a fit and cry. Why does a baby cry when you try to wean it? Because it's thinking you're trying to kill it. You know, you're taking away the only source of food it knows. And let me explain. In the case of the soul, that's exactly what needs to happen. Point number six, the soul must die. What do you mean my soul must die? Yep, we got to die to self. Our fleshly thoughts need to die. Here you go. I've been crucified with Christ. Yeah, we need to die. It's all through the New Testament. Jesus taught a lot on it. It's all throughout Christian theology. We need to die to self. Hebrews 4:12. It's a pretty famous verse, and we understand it, but I don't think we really understand how verse 13, how they are connected. Hebrews 4:12 and 13. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is a sword and piercing as far as the division of what? Soul and spirit, of both joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And, verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do, or with whom we have to give an account. The word of God, it says, it's a sword dividing the soul, what we think, what we feel, and the spirit, what God thinks. It judges the thoughts and intentions of our heart. We know this part well enough, but as we continue in verse 13, it's connected by the word and, right? And open, right? And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare. That word open, realizing that the word of God is a sword, is the word trachelizo. Trachelizo in the Greek. Now, trache, we can kind of figure out what that word's kind of like tracheotomy. Trache, it means the throat. See, that's all good. But the rest of the word, lizo, that's where it starts to turn bad. This is what that word trachelizo means. It means to bend back the neck of a victim to be slain. Listen. To expose the gullet of a person to kill him. You see, God has big plans for your soul. That's what the word of God does. It says, no, Walt, don't respond like that. That's your soul. You respond this way. Are you feeling me? This is why believers go astray, because they don't allow the sword, the word of God, to divide between their soul and their spirit. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life, that word in the Greek means psuche or psyche or your soul, your thought, your mind, will lose it. But whoever loses his life or his soul for my sake will find it. Have you ever heard the saying, Jesus went to the cross so you don't have to? Has anybody heard that? Yeah. Well, you see, I got a problem with that saying, because this says, if you want to follow me, we have to take up, he says, to take up your cross. So apparently, I have to die too. Luke 9:23. He said, Jesus speaking again, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. Why did he have to put the word daily in there? Why? Every day. The Apostle Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 15:31. I die daily. Do you think that means he got saved every day? No. It means he crucified himself every day. He crucified his soul. You may feel, but you know, I just want to say a little prayer and ask Jesus to forgive me and call it all good. That's just the beginning. If we don't wean our soul and feed our spirit, we're going to be constantly stuck in that battle. See, that's just the beginning. We must come, take up our cross daily and follow him, to live by the Spirit, to put our souls to death. But like we were singing this morning, we're walking in faith and victory. We come to this battle from a point of victory as believers. We don't walk alone. Therefore, brothers, I urge you, I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove or bear witness what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Could I get the worship team to come up here? So, in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not guns, bombs, slingshots, swords. They're not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, as believers, what are our weapons? First off, we have the sword, right? Which is the word of God. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have fellowship with God through prayer and fellowship with the body of Christ, the church. We are not alone in the battle. And finally, we have praise and worship. Amen? Amen. These weapons are what? They are mighty. They are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds in our souls, for help in the battle. Those areas in our lives where we may be lacking restraint. I don't know about you, but I truly enjoy worshiping. My spirit comes alive, and especially when we do it corporately with everybody else. You know, you can just feel the move of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit just comes and fills this place, because the presence of God occupies the praise and worship of His people. And that's the greatest thing we can do as part of the battle, is offering up our praise to God. This is how we fight our battles.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
May look.
Look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It may look like
I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
It may look,
like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This is how I fight,
my battles. This is how I fight 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 my battles.
This is one of the ways we fight our battles. But the other way is allowing the Word of God, like a sword, to cut us deep. It's about spending time getting to know our God in prayer. This is how we fight our battles.
Amen.
This is how we wean our soul. This is how we overcome. You know, we're more than overcomers. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
See, we're not alone in our struggles. We're not alone in the battle. We are victorious. Father God, we just thank you, Lord God. We just thank you and we praise you, Father God, for who you are, for the weapons that you give us, Lord God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Father God, as our guide, Lord. We as believers, our spirits are come alive, Father God, and we know that we are born again and we'll have eternal life. But we believe, Father God, that you are molding us and you are shaping us for your purpose, Father God. You know, we are more than victors. We are more than victors, Father God. We thank you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you help us, you show us, you guide us, you strengthen us, Father God, for that battle that we wake up every morning. Let us wake up knowing that we are your children, that as children, we are heirs to the promise. Father God, you do not condemn us, Lord God. You're not mad with us, Lord God. You see us how we can be, Father, created in your image, that we have inherent value, purpose, and will, because you paid a wonderful price to redeem us, not because we're anything special, but while we're in the muck and the mire, in our sins and our transgressions, in our dead soul, you sent your Son to die on the cross, so that our spirits can come alive. Lord, this week, help us to feed our spirit, Lord. Help us to listen to that small voice, to get that voice a little bit louder when we're trying to respond in our soul. Remind us, Lord God, that that's not how we're supposed to respond. That we're supposed to respond in our spirit with love, mercy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the weapons, Lord, that you've given us. And they're mighty.
Yes.
Mighty for us to overcome.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord God. We praise you, Father, that you've put such a treasure in earthen vessels, Lord God, that we can be light in this world as we allow. You know, a lot of our vessels have cracks, Father God. You know, get chips, get dents, get cracks. But those are the area that your light shines through. Those broken pieces, that's where your light shines through. Lord, let your light so shine in our lives. Let us have a renewed filling of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Let us come to you daily, pick up that cross, and say, God, what do you have for me today? I'm going to respond more like you. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord God. We thank you for a hand in our lives. And we just give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' holy, mighty name we pray. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Brother Walt. Is that good? Is God good? Let's give him praise. But I bugger had so much gems, my bag overflow. I gotta go watch them again. Oh, well, shall we take it out in victory today? Just before you do leave today. Oh, man. Trisha. Tisha. Sorry. Sister Tisha is up here. She wants to pray for you if before you go out into battle, into this world and take on all the battles. If there's something that you want prayed for, that's why she's here. She stepped up to do that. So come and take advantage of that, okay? Not, let's go out in victory today. Be bold.